I'm Tisha Bader. Thank you for joining me. We have just marked 6 months since the horrific massacre committed by terror group Hamas on Israel on October the 7th, and 6 months of captivity for the hostages still being held in Gaza. At this somber milestone, where are we at? What is the feeling of the Israeli public? Where are U.S.-Israel relations at this juncture? And where are we at as American Jews? Well, to help us try and answer those questions, I am so honored to always welcome back to JBS former Israeli ambassador to the United States, Dani Ayalon. Dani, thank you so much for taking the time.
Always a pleasure, Tisha.
Thank you. So this is an excruciatingly difficult time for all of us, in particular in Israel. It's been 6 months since the October 7th massacre. The pain, the grief of which did not end on that day. It is ongoing. The IDF, of course, has been fighting to defeat Hamas in the ground operation in Gaza, launched shortly after the 7th, and over 200 IDF soldiers have fallen in that battle. 133 hostages are still in Gaza in unthinkable circumstances. What is the feeling, if you can give us a sense of what the feeling is like for the Israeli people at this difficult and unthinkable milestone that we've reached?
Yes. Well, succinctly, Tisha, I would say the general feeling here is of deep frustration. Frustration with the situation, but mostly frustration with the government, which has not been able to deliver. Our military is doing a fantastic job. I don't think any military would have achieved what we did in this, I would say, conditions that have never been experienced by any military. You know, this subterranean war with metro-like tunnels, you know, extending to hundreds of kilometers, hundreds of miles, very deep down. Some of them are 100 feet down with booby traps and all what you can just think of and more. And we have done it. But the achievement of getting the hostages out was not actually brought about on the one hand. And secondly, we get a lot of flack from the international community because of, I would say, there's no initiative of the government on the political front. And we must understand, and this is what everybody here is trying to explain to the prime minister, is that foreign policy, just like in war exercise, you must initiate. You must also do it in a sophisticated way, not just wait for others to bang on your head. And this was the case of humanitarian help to Gaza, that we had to acquiesce and getting all the criticism without getting the credit for it. This is the thing about moving into Rafah when we will need to do that. And also, we are, I would say, at a very low point in our international relations. And this was not God sent. We could have done better, but the people here are resilient. The people here are strong, grieving. The pain of the hostages is, and the hostages' families is felt by everyone. And we will continue to do what we need to do. The Gaza war will be over sooner or later with the dismantling of Hamas. We just hope that we will see back the hostages alive. And on our northern front, if Hezbollah does not fulfill its obligations according to the United Nations Security Council Resolution 1701, that means to pull north out of sight of our northern communities, if they don't do it politically, then they will have to do it in other ways. We have the wherewithal to do it, as well as to defend ourselves against Iran, which is also acting up. So again, we are at a war, multi-front war, but we are standing tall, proud, and strong.
So let's just talk a bit, you mentioned international relations, and let's talk a bit about the United States. Israel's most important ally and vice versa. The bond of which has always been so strong and continues to be. But many say or perceive a slight shift or some sort of degree of change of late. We saw the speech by Senator Chuck Schumer, who many people were very, very surprised by, where he spoke in the Senate and basically called for new elections in Israel and had some very harsh things to say about the Israeli government. And we've also seen comments recently from President Biden that show a slight different approach to Israel. How would you interpret that, or how do you view that?
Yes, unfortunately, I think that Senator Schumer may have just misspoke, and it is for the Israeli people to call for new elections. And believe me, there is a majority here among the Israeli populace that would like to see early elections very immediately. It's up to us, not to anyone else, to tell us from across the pond. But I would say that the relationship between the countries are as strong as ever, and that we should not be fooled by personal relationship at the top. You know, prime ministers and presidents come and go, but the interests, the values, the strong bond between the nation remains unchanged. And we see it now, although there is a lot of, let's say, disaffection between Biden and Netanyahu, we see that the military aid continues unabated. Although we know that during this very tense political season in the United States, where we see that the president is undergoing a barrage of condemnations from his own party, the progressive, the very extreme liberals, of course, the Muslim community, and he stands, you know, and he keeps a steady hand on the wheel. There is some harsh rhetoric that he levels towards Netanyahu, but this is just rhetoric and not deeds. And here again, I go back to what I started with, the frustration here in the public, why the government does not initiate. For instance, we could have done much better knowing that in any case, we will have, you know, we have to take into consideration the international arena. And instead of being pushed by the administration to send more aid, we could have done it ourselves. And the same thing with the day after. We are the ones that should think what would be the regime in Gaza the day after. Our friends in Washington are expecting to hear. And I believe that working with them, together, as we have done always, in full transparency and intimacy, we could find some modicum of operation in the future. But right now, this government has not made any decision. We need to know, the military needs to know, in order to plan the next steps. You know, in any strategy, you set the goal, and then you, from that, you derive all the tactical and the operational moves that will bring you to that goal, to that objective. One thing I can tell you, that the military control over Gaza will have to be by Israel, by the IDF, for the foreseeable future. But the civil administration of Gaza should not be by Israel. We should not be the ones taking care of sewage and their health situation and everything that goes with it, and taxes and what have you. This should be done by local Palestinians, and we can do that. But unfortunately, this government has not made any decision, which is another bone of contention between Jerusalem and Washington. And this is not something that cannot be solved. So all in all, I'm optimistic, and we will find a way to move into a new regime in Gaza, with, of course, cooperation and consultation with our American friends.
I appreciate your optimism. Let's talk for a minute about what it's like to be a Jew in the United States. I know you're in Israel, obviously, but your years of diplomacy and of being ambassador to the US, you have a good sense of what American Jewry is like. And I think most of us can agree that life has not been the same since October the 7th, not to equate it at all with what Israel has suffered, but being Jewish in America feels different than it did before. And we are seeing film festivals of Israeli films or Jewish films canceled. We're seeing concerts by artists like Matisyahu, who's Jewish, canceled, protested. This surge of anti-Semitism and hate that was unleashed on October the 7th. How do you view what is happening here at the moment?
Well, I see it very seriously, very gravely. I have never seen the United States like that. The Jewish community of the United States, which is one of the, I would say, stellar communities that have contributed to the United States so much in culture, in economy, in anything that you can just think of. And here, I see that the Jewish community find itself in a position where it has to defend itself against a very, I would say, fairly small but vociferous group, whether of Islamists and those that are being used by the Islamists as, useful idiots. And we see them attacking Jews in the campuses, on the streets, in the media, of course, in the social media. And this is something that I don't think we should overlook. Because I think that here the Jewish community has to be very firm, and that to go after any anti-Semitic event or any anti-Semitic slur, whether it's in the social media, in the main media, or anywhere else, and go and pursue it either through legal actions, either through new legislation that has to be taken care of and enforcement. I would say also that when Israel comes into the debate here, also two main concerns. One is that Israel has become a political issue. This is something that we have to neutralize. Israel should be, as always it had been, a bipartisan issue. The United States and Israel are natural allies, and that should not be dependent upon any kind of political persuasion. It has always been the case, and we should find a way. And I think the Jewish community is in the best position to bring Israel into the bipartisan realm. The second thing is, and this is also something which is of great concern, what used to be sacrosanct, Tisha, which was the defense cooperation between Israel and the United States, is being put now under questions. And we saw this letter of 40-some members of Congress calling on the administration to stop weapons and munition shipments to Israel in the midst of war, a war of self-defense. This is something that has never happened before. So I'm afraid that once the genie is out of the box, we are entering a slippery slope. And this is why this has to be kind of answered in a decisive way. And although I don't think that this letter of this or these calls of this fringe congressman, I don't think that that would make any difference, certainly not in the short term, where the United States sees the importance of keeping supporting Israel, and they will continue to do that. But in the long run, I'm afraid that there is an erosion in the understanding of the American people of the importance of the relationship with Israel. And unfortunately, on top of that, we are undergoing incitement by those Muslims who have some members of Congress, whether it's Rashida Tlaib or Ilhan Omar and other people from the squad. This has to be answered, because the American people should understand that a strong Israel means a strong America.
Absolutely. Former Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi signed that letter, from my understanding.
Yes, I was really surprised,
Quite shocking.
because I think, again, it has become a bon ton to to bash Israel. I think I know the former speaker Pelosi. I think she's a true friend of Israel. I'm afraid that again this was a misguidance and maybe some animosity, personal animosity towards Bibi Netanyahu.
But again, as you said, this goes beyond who is in charge, right? This goes beyond who is prime minister and who is president. This is about America's closest ally and Israel's closest ally, the United States. And as you said earlier, which is so important to remember, that is what is at stake here. It doesn't really matter who is in charge at the moment. That should be sacrosanct, as you said.
Absolutely, absolutely. And as I mentioned, a strong Israel is really an interest of the United States. First of all, on the matter of values, we are the only democracy in the Middle East. The American have always been in support of democracies, understanding that democracies are always much more stable. They are not starting wars on other democracies. Their economy is better. They are better partners and natural partners of the United States and actually bringing about prosperity to the entire globe. In the case of Israel here in the Middle East, a strong Israel brings about stability in the Middle East, which means a lower oil price, not having to send American troops over. You know, Israel has never asked for American troops to fight for ourselves. This stability was broken on the 7th of October. This is why we have to redouble efforts to bring back this stability. And for that, and the President Biden understood it right away from day one, when he came over, first president who visited Israel during war, he sent the warships. He said, don't to the Hezbollah and to the Ayatollahs in Tehran. And also from the American perspective, I can tell you, and this is a real level of sophistication, that the United States, by being the main supporter of Israel, that really increases the influence of the United States in the region, because every country in the region knows that if they want anything from Israel, they have to run by the United States. The United States is the only, as former Secretary of State Albright actually said, that the United States is the indispensable country in the Middle East, and it is indispensable because of its special relations and relationship with Israel. So, and also, if any time we will want to see concessions from Israel in order to bring about peace, in order to bring about the larger vision of President Biden of normalization of relationship between Israel and the Gulf countries, principally Saudi Arabia, in order to isolate Iran, in order to keep China and North Korea and Russia out of this, Israel must be strong. And again, as we mentioned before, this is in no relations to whoever runs the countries, both in Jerusalem or Washington.
Danny, you always give us such wonderful insight and so many years of experience and thought to this really, really difficult, critical time that we're all in together. And, you know, that is some have said the silver lining of this horrible tragedy is that Israel, the Jewish world, the Jewish people feel as one, I feel now more than ever before. And a very deeply painful situation to be in, but also we remember the solidarity and unity that is so very important.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have survived a much worse situation in our 4,000 years of existence. We will not only survive this one, we will thrive, we will prevail, I have no doubt. And anyone who comes to Israel and see the people understands what strength there is in this country.
Amen. Am Yisrael Chai.
Am Yisrael Chai.
I hope we see the hostages home safe very, very soon, and better days very soon ahead, Danny.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Thank you as always for joining us here on JBS. Danny Ayalon is the former ambassador from Israel to the United States. We thank him so much for his time.
Pleasure.